Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Second hour of four, Grant and Danny live from National Spring Training, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. G&D live on 106.7 The Fan from camp. We told you that Mark Lerner did an interview with NBC Sports Washington. Remember, he was on our show a few months ago, and we asked him about the offseason plan, and his messaging was very different than everything else you heard from the organization.
Yeah, he had his own. He was of his own mind on that.
And he's the owner, and he gets to say what he wants. Mike Rizzo and the baseball staff were saying things like, we haven't turned the page, and Bryce Harper could still be here, and we want to bring him back. And then Lerner came on with us and basically said, that's not the case. We're not going to wait around. We're not going to spend $300 million and be over the luxury tax. It's not in our plans. Well, today he did an interview with NBC Sports Washington. Many weeks have passed. A lot has changed in free agency, and everyone's been wanting to know, what is Mark Lerner thinking now? Are the Nationals still involved in the Harper sweepstakes? Here's an excerpt from that interview on NBC Sports Washington. Todd Dybas talking with Mark Lerner.
Nothing's really changed on our end. We've moved on, as I said back then, and we had to. We there was no way we could wait around. And Bryce, I'm sure, will make his decision hopefully in the next few days. But we've filled out our roster. And like I said, we wish him nothing but the best. But, you know, there's always that the door's cracked a little bit. But I have no clue at this point what they're up to. I mean, we really haven't heard from them in a couple months.
There's a lot to unpack there.
That last part is the quote.
So,
right?
No clue what they're up to because we haven't heard from them in a couple months. To me, that's the new groundbreaking big development. Now, he doubled down on some of what he told us. We've moved on. He said, as I said back then, we wish him the best. He told us that. He even referenced the video they're going to play when Bryce Harper comes back.
He did, yeah, the tribute video.
Which I thought was hilarious. But this is the big news. We have no clue what they're up to. We have not spoken to them in months. Now, we had Mike Rizzo on the show a little while ago. We asked him similar questions. He said, similarly, we have not talked to Boris. He said he has my number. So let's bring on Todd Dybas right now live here at spring training, who did this interview with Mark Lerner and who works at NBC Sports Washington. Todd, first of all, congratulations. It's big news and a good interview. Job well done. Let's start with that comment. They haven't talked in months. Are you surprised? Because that doesn't seem like all these reporters who keep saying the Nationals are still in, the Nationals are up in their offer. That goes against all those reports.
Yeah, it certainly runs counter to numerous things we've heard here as we've gone month by month by month, and this has dragged on and on and on. So it was very interesting to hear from team ownership. You know, these are the people who are going to be making this decision. Mike Rizzo built himself a team, and if ownership wanted to figure out a way to pay Bryce Harper, then that would be up to them, right? So we heard directly that they haven't even been thinking about this for months. There haven't been conversations. There hasn't been back and forth from the original offer that you guys talked to him about and referenced, the 10-year, $300 million deal that was off the table when free agency started. It seems you take his original comments and what he said today, put them together. They started something at the end of the season. It didn't work. And basically, that was it.
It's over.
It was over. Patrick Corbin, here's $140 million. Mike Rizzo, go fix all the other problems we had last season. He checked all his boxes. Everyone else is kind of fighting it out and fighting misinformation and trying to figure out what they're doing with their roster. And even there's other players behind this, right?
Sure,
still waiting for it to figure itself out.
The one thing I will say is that he left the door open very minimally. And he did the same thing with us, which is smart. Because there's no reason to definitively come out and say there's no way Bryce Harper's coming back. Right. Because if Bryce Harper can't get $301 million from the Phillies now and they realize they're bidding against themselves, he's not going to take less money than Manny Machado. So he's going to decide, I'll set the AAV record. I'll get the 5-year contract at 35 a year, or I'll do 2 years and $80 million, or whatever it might be, and maybe that's when the Nationals would get invested again and get back into the mix. Can you take me into, I don't know if you remember the specific quote, but exactly what he said about not completely ruling out the possibility? Because Danny and I have said all along, if they get an offer from the Phillies at midnight, Ted Lerner could get a call from Scott Boras.
The
and
red
say,
phone rings in his office.
Let's talk. Can you
the shades are
this?
Pulled down.
Right, yeah. Mark Lerner said the door's cracked a little bit. We've talked a lot about how wide open doors are or are not also during this process.
So many doors.
Yes, many, many doors at many different gaps. So, you know, like you said, he can't 100% definitively say there's no chance because, of course, if you're Scott Boras, you're going to circle back to the Lerner family.
I'm calling
right?
Ted, yeah, of course.
How much business have you done with them? You know, when Max Scherzer couldn't get someone to give him 7 years, now inexplicably as we look at what he's done, right? They called the Lerners did it with Scott Boras, you know, and that was an ownership level decision. They decided $210 million for this guy. Obviously, Mike Rizzo very on board with that idea, but still that money had to be greenlighted by them. So if you're Scott Boras here, you're eventually going to go back, you would think, to the Lerners and give it one more try. I mean, he's been trying to create a market this entire time, right? Fan a little flame over here, a little flame over there.
Yeah, that's his job, right?
Right, and keep this thing afloat. So certainly would expect the bat phone to ring over there in Nationals ownership land.
Our buddy Todd Dybus is with us. Sat down with Nats owner Mark Lerner this morning, and a couple bits of news to come out of that. You'll see an awful lot of that today. In your opinion, why is Mark Lerner? I mean, nobody's going to tell him anything, obviously, because he's the owner. But why is he saying something different than everybody else with the organization? Why do you think that is?
It's a great question. It's the first question I had after he sat down with you guys.
It's like he didn't go to the meetings that everyone else was in on how they're going to answer these questions.
Right. He deleted the email before
and by the way,
it.
I'm not making fun of him. Like, right. He's the owner. He gets to do whatever he wants.
Seriously.
And I love the honesty, but I can't imagine Rizzo loves the honesty.
And we saw that at the winter meeting. Suddenly we're up in Mike Rizzo's, you know, swanky hotel room.
Yeah,
and
right in the airspace, yeah.
Yeah, he's you know, dialing this back progressively, you know, using some semantics and, you know, couching a few things and molding a few things here, as you, again, would expect him to do when the owner comes out publicly, you know, in December, which, with how long this has taken, that was a long, long time ago and very, very early, right?
It's ancient pre-agency terms, right?
Right. We were pre-winter meetings, and he's like saying we're 99.9% out.
Yeah.
And then you know, your general manager is off to Las Vegas, and everybody's like, so tell us about how you're out here. And he has to kind of get his arms around that. So I don't know. Maybe he's just doing it for simplicity and clarity, you know.
Maybe he wants to be honest right. with his constituents is not the right word, but with his clients, with the fans, and he wants to say, I think there are a lot of Nats fans who want to see Bryce Harper back, and he doesn't want them misled. There are reports out there saying there's two favorites, and the Nationals are still one of them. Well, if you're Mark Lerner and you're seeing those erroneous reports, and you're going, that's not our plan. We just spent money on Patrick Corbin, Yan Gomes, Kurt Suzuki, Brian Dozier. We did our thing.
Because you want to talk about that,
right?
Because
right?
you're going, this is who's here is good. Look at what we just did.
We should win the division without him. Maybe part of him wants acknowledgement that they did a good thing, that they made a good business decision.
And what else is the enormous storyline around this free agent offseason? People are not spending.
Yep.
These guys, $140 million right away. And every hole they had, they went and spent, you know, and did what they had to do to bring in these other parts and fill these holes that we saw a lot of them last season. So certainly if you're him and you want to be like, we are spending, we made a good faith offer to Bryce Harper, we understand his value, we appreciate what he did here, but then we had to move on and we can't be held hostage, you know, by waiting all these months to see what happens. Presumably Patrick Corbin is not here if they decided to wait it out.
Grant and Danny with Todd Dybus of NBC Sports Washington. Check out his work on their website and on the My Teams app. Steven Strasburg is going to be with us in 20 minutes at 11:30 right here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Thanks to Todd Dybus of NBC Sports Washington for joining us. Just after his interview with Mark Lerner, who said the Nationals have not talked to Scott Boras in months about Bryce Harper. How about that? Let's get your reactions on the phones. 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. The Hadid carpet cleaning listener lines are open. Boris, of course, is the representative of Steven Strasburg as well. Strass will be on the show in 16 minutes at 11:30. Should be fun to catch up with him for just a few minutes. Before we get into the comments of Lerner on Boris, we interviewed Divis a minute ago about them. You and I want to give our take and our analysis, and we'll hit the phones on this. I want to bounce something off of you that happened last night. I want to see where you weigh in.
All right, go ahead, shoot.
I want you to know that we asked four different people, strangers, at the bar, and all four of them were on my side.
Family Feud style. We asked four strangers at the bar.
I went out to get a couple drinks with a friend last night.
Okay.
In West Palm Beach. This was after dinner. We had a delicious meal. We went over to the bar, walked over. We had drinks.
Mm-hmm.
This person had an early dinner, I guess,
okay,
and was a little bit hungry.
Okay.
So they got some bar food.
Yep.
They ordered sliders and French fries off of the bar menu late night. We're talking about, I would say, 10:45 at night, like that.
Okay.
Sliders come, French fries come, probably a total of 20 fries on the plate. With three small sliders.
That's a low number of fries. That's a CK number of fries.
We're talking about an $11 bar meal, right?
Sure.
We're sitting there. I had a couple vodka sodas because that's pretty much all we're allowed to drink because it doesn't have any sugar. By the way, I hate vodka sodas. Do you like those?
No.
I find them to be medicine.
They're fine. Yeah, I could throw a little lime in there and I can drink it. I'm not enjoying myself.
I'm not having a good time. But
no.
That's what I was doing. I was trying to be good because I'd been bad earlier in the night because Jack Hicks only turned 60 once.
He doesn't turn 60 every day.
So, I'm drinking my vodka sodas, and this gentleman next to me, my pal, is eating his meal and having his bullet bourbon and whatever else he's got on rocks. And he gets the meal, and he eats the sliders right away. And he's picking at the fries over the span of 15, 20 minutes like a bird. Now, there's only 20 of them.
What's he doing?
If you were going to eat fries, you just eat them, right? You would just eat the fries and finish them. So about 10 minutes goes by, and he says, hey, dude, do you want any fries? And I was like, ah, probably not going to eat any fries. I appreciate the offer. I might eat one or two when you're done, but I'm good right now. All right, if you want any fries, just have some. Another 10 minutes goes by. Fries still aren't done. There's about, I would say, 10 to 12 fries on his
plate. I just don't understand that.
He says, I'm going to the bathroom. I'll be back. I said, okay, no problem. Well, while he goes to the bathroom, it's now well after, 11 o'clock at night. Bartender comes over, bar back dude, big old tatted up ripped guy.
Sure, yeah.
He points at the plate, and he says, you guys good here? And I looked at it. I said, I really don't know. I said, no, he's probably going to keep working. And then I have this epiphany of, what's he going to do? Eat the rest of those now? They're cold fries. I said, actually, just take the plate, no problem. He comes back, and he was furious to find out that I'd given away his fries. So he blames me for giving away the fries because they weren't mine to give away, giving the go-ahead to the bartender to take the fries and to dismiss of them. And my point to him was, A, you offered them to me. When you offer me the fries, you're already not going to eat all the fries. B, you had over 20 minutes. That's over a minute per fry. You clearly weren't that invested in the fries. And C, most importantly, never once in my life, in the history of me eating food, have I at a restaurant, mid-meal, gotten up, gone to the bathroom, and come back and finish something that's only good hot like fries. I would eat those when they come before I go to the bathroom. You wouldn't have an intermission. This is not a play. There's not a second act coming. So I assumed he was done with his fries. So we asked both bartenders. We asked a couple of the people around. We stopped people. And everyone agreed with me that what I did was reasonable and what he did was unreasonable. I turn to you, Danny, and I ask you, by giving away his fries, was I in the wrong at all?
Imagine I was single. Imagine you were too. And imagine I'd shown no interest in a girl. Imagine I had never talked about her. Imagine I'd never approached her. Imagine I had never even looked in her general direction. You ask her on a date, and I go, how dare you ask her out on a date? I was going to do that. We've never talked about it. I've never shown interest.
Correct.
Eat your fries. You've shown no interest in your fries.
Did the fries come or did they not come?
You relinquished your hold over those fries when you let them sit there. Eat the fries. In shape people, if you're not eating, pound sand.
Things I've never done before in order. One, gotten a plate with not a lot of fries on it and not immediately begun eating the fries. Two, offered my fries to someone.
I would never offer my fries to anybody.
10 minutes after I got them, planning on finishing the fries.
Of course not.
And three, and this is the part I can't get past. This is where when he was legitimately upset about this. And I said to him, I said, you've forfeited your right to be upset because you left the table to go to the bathroom.
Now,
this is not something that's good the next day.
Here's the thing.
You're going to eat cold fries after an hour? You're not going
to
do that.
To me, that holds a little bit less water because sometimes things happen. What if you spilled ketchup on your shirt?
What if
your hands are grubby and you feel like you need to go to the restroom? I don't necessarily think
it wasn't that.
That was the final act. To me, it's the so many minutes went by when your fries were available to you. You didn't eat them.
But
you offered them. Number one, no one should ever offer food to anybody unless they're done. You should eat your own food, control your own destiny.
So you're my team all the way?
Of course I am. You don't even need this you got up from the table argument because you're so correct about everything else. You're so right, you don't need to use this flimsy or, well, you went to the bathroom that time. Eat the fries immediately. Eat the fries. If you don't eat the fries, you relinquish your hold over the fries. You've shown no interest in the fries throughout this whole process. Mm-hmm. You don't have any hold over those fries anymore. I've shown so much interest in fries that I told our boss, no, you can't have any. Let me go get you some of your own. That's where I stand on fries. Okay? You don't share fries. You don't share food. You don't look over at me and think, oh, my God, I made a terrible decision. Can I have some of yours?
How many
signs your destiny.
Do you give someone that you don't want them before they assume you don't want them? When you're not eating them, when you're picking at them, when you're eating like parts of one and not even finishing it, when they're getting cold, when it's been 20 minutes, when you've offered them to me and when you've gone to the bathroom.
Eat them right away, immediately.
Everything you're doing is saying, I have no plans on eating these fries. Everything you're doing. That was the story of last night. So I'm now 5 for 5, by the way. I'm batting 1,000.
You're 5 for 5
on people agreeing.
Real quick,
with me.
Do you mind if I throw a dissenting opinion in there?
Yeah, I do, but you're going to do it anyway, so go ahead.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do that. AJ should calm down. He went to the bathroom. He left his fries. He didn't eat them for over 10 minutes. That's inexcusable. You cannot get mad at you.
I like to think I'm on Team Dar on this one because I am. I think we're all on the right side of history. I have not found a single person who said, well, that wasn't your food to get rid of.
He's shown no interest in the thing. That's what children do.
I think your analogy about the girl was right because there have definitely been people that get mad about that where you go, bro, you know I was going to try to go
after her. No, I didn't know that. No one said anything.
Why was I supposed to know that?
Now, my 5-year-old child does that when he sees his younger brother play with a toy. Oh, he's going to play with that. No, you weren't. You're just jealous now that he's doing something.
You're just jealous that your fries are gone.
Be a grown-up. Eat the fries immediately. Eat the fries right away.
Let's go to the phones.
Oh, it's inexcusable.
800-636-1067. Nationals camp is the site of today's broadcast. You've already missed Mike Rizzo and Trevor Rosenthal, potentially. Steven Strasburg's on the show in 10 minutes. Carlos is in Alexandria on the fan. What's up, Los? How are you?
I'm doing great. This is a great show again, as always, you guys. I always like when you talk baseball. You really get down into it.
We like it, too.
We enjoy it ourselves.
Yeah, I'm sure you do, and particularly the weather, given what we're going to get up here. But anyway, you had asked earlier, you talked earlier about one of the areas to look for that's maybe unexpected and underestimated as far as the role of a player or someone in the team this year. And I'm gonna propose the manager, Davey Martinez, for a couple of reasons. Number one, I think the tone he set early last year was too lax for this team. It was too laid back. It was too, we've got all the pieces in place, and so all we need to do is sort of do the lineup every day. And I think it was sort of embodied in that stupid circus thing that he brought into the camp last year. Now, I don't know how different it is this year. I know they're working more on fundamentals this year, which I think is great because at the beginning of the year last year, that team was not fundamentally sound. The second thing is that he made a number of mistakes early in the year just managing the managing the team in areas of like bullpen use and not getting, players ready and that sort of thing. And I'm just wondering if you guys agree that maybe his role this year is a little bit being underestimated by the people that are analyzing.
Yeah, I think
team.
It's a great phone call. Almost as good as the call you were getting.
You just received.
While you were talking to us. Thank you so much.
Phone's
for
ringing, dude.
Checking in, Carlos. But yes, I think Davey Martinez is as important a piece of the pie here and an unknown still in some ways as anybody in this outfit, including the players. He didn't have a good enough year last year. There's no denying that. I think that their struggles had a lot more to do with their injuries and being crippled in their pitching staff than it had anything to do with him. I think there was kind of a ripple effect throughout the bullpen when you're using all of a sudden Justin Miller and Wander Suero in the ninth inning, in the eighth inning. What are we doing here? That's a terrible plan. That's a 78-83 win team. That's not a 90-plus win team. The rotation became Jeremy Hellickson, Max Scherzer, and cross your fingers and pray for rain. That's a disaster in waiting as well. So I'm not going to put last season solely on him, but if you're asking was he a net plus or a net minus, was he a great first-year manager, he was not. There are a lot of questions about Davey Martinez, and I think if they're healthier, he's going to be a lot better off. The learning experience he had is going to be key. I don't believe in one of your thoughts, which is that bringing camels or having a day where you played golf at spring training in any way is a factor in this team's struggles. Joe Maddon does that every day with the Cubs, and they win World Series championships. A lot of managers for a long time, because of the monotony of baseball, have tried to keep the clubhouse loose. But I will believe this, Danny, and I'll buy what he's selling on this account. I do think there was a kind of blasé, like laissez-faire, almost we're 95-win Nationals good. Nothing else really matters last year at spring training.
Yeah.
I don't think that has anything to do with the Camels. The Camels will be here if you win 63 games or 100 games because he went to the Joe Maddon School of Managing, and he'll have a boa constrictor in the clubhouse in September. But they did not have an urgency to improve last year. I think they just felt like, well, we're going to be in the playoffs, and we got to get over the hump. That was their entire message. When we get to the playoffs, we've got to win in the playoffs. They just counted the chicken that they were going to be in the playoffs. You can't do that. And I think that if you want to blame Martinez or the players or Rizzo or anybody else for that, I think it's all fair game.
Yeah, the three down years, quote-unquote, that they've had, one, they were 10 games over 500. By the way, it's such a privilege to talk about that as a down season.
Yeah.
Just never forget that. But those 3 years, that's been the symptom. And I think ultimately not getting out of the first round of the playoffs has that's been the general complaint about this group, is that they just believe it's – nine Nationals jerseys thrown out on the field sometimes, and that's good enough to, you know, go do a whole bunch of things when they haven't necessarily done it yet. So people focus on the Camels or the golf or whatever else, and I get that because it was so public. But to me, it was emblematic of, we got nothing to do here. We got nothing to work on, right? We, you know, they played slipshod in spring training for the most part, made a bunch of errors defensively, didn't run the bases effectively. Now, you can only do base running drills for so many hours of the day before you need to break up the monotony. You can only do, you know, pitcher fielding practice for so many hours in the day. But David Martinez will look like a genius last year if Bryce Harper isn't hitting 205 in the middle of July. You know, he'll look a lot smarter if, you know, Tanner Roark doesn't have an ERA of 9 in the month of July.
That was his fault, in fairness.
That's nothing to do with him.
He told Tanner Roark to get worse considerably very fast. Speaking of Davey Martinez, I want people to do something. My Twitter account is at Grant H. Paulson.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's two tweets ago. So I've got a little picture and a promo of some of the stuff we got coming up on the show with Mike Rizzo as my last tweet. Two tweets ago, I posted at Grant H. Paulson a video I saw Carol Maloney I have on Twitter last night, and it's what I love about spring training, and I want Nats fans to see it. Davey Martinez is over kind of just talking to fans and signing autographs. Did you see this video?
I did. It's great.
Through the fence, this guy is asking Davey Martinez, this random Nats fan, hey, Davey, why don't you guys ever do the wheel play when a runner's at second? And Martinez legitimately stands there and just talks baseball strategy with this fan about why he does and doesn't do things for over 2 minutes. That is the greatest example of why I think spring training is one of the most unique, unbelievable fan experiences in all of sports. The access you get is incredible. You know, the weather's obviously beautiful. You get out of being in D.C. for a few days. You come down here, and there's that hope springing eternal in baseball of being excited for the new season. But the access, the fact that you're around these guys, you're a couple feet away from star players, and you're talking about hitting and running with the manager of the team, and he's breaking things down with you. And it was funny because actually the guy that was talking to him was like doing all the talking, and Davey Martinez would try to help educate him, and he'd like,
"No, listen,
talk over him," which was great. But the whole video is tremendous.
It's really good.
That's spring training in a nutshell. It's what I love about being here.
It's why you come down. Honestly, you get that kind of experience and that access. It really is amazing.
Steven Strasburg is on Grant and Danny next, live from West Palm Beach. You are listening to The Fan, brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
West Palm Beach Nats Clubhouse found Steven Strasburg getting ready for yet another start to exhibition play. Steven, second year under Davey Martinez, one of the deans of the clubhouse now. How have you felt about the first few days?
Yeah, I think there's been some valuable work getting done here every single day, and getting a chance to meet a lot of the new guys, talk to a lot of the new guys has been a lot of fun too.
Physically, how you doing? I mean, you're probably sick of doing the meticulous rehab type stuff. Body-wise, how you feel?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a part of the process, you know. I feel great. Going to try and keep it that way as long as possible.
Rotation looks different than it has in a long time. Used to be Gio's lockers right next to you. Now you've got Patrick Corbin, who was added, and Anibal Sanchez as a veteran. Is that something at all, as a guy who's near the top of the rotation, you look at, concern yourself with, or are you just kind of worried about your day and every 5 days?
No, I think... you know, having Gio and then, you know, Jordan Zimmerman here for a big chunk of my career was there were some great memories there. And, you know, it's definitely got a different feel, especially not having Gio here, you know, goofing off and making people laugh and talking to everybody. So I know his personality and his presence in the clubhouse is definitely going to be missed by not just myself, but getting a chance to, you know, meet new guys. You know, Patrick's got a great reputation coming in from Arizona, so you know, a little bit more of a silent type, much like myself. But yeah, I mean, it's great to watch him throw the baseball. You can tell he's just a tremendous athlete, and not just this sport, but probably many others too. So might have to go take him out on the golf course here soon.
Do you guys have a replacement class clown, so to speak, without Gio? I mean, this clubhouse is so veteran now. You brought in some really good dudes like Dozier, Suzuki this offseason. But yeah, Who's going to be the guy to keep it loose?
Well, I wouldn't really characterize Gio as a class clown. You know, I think that's got a little negative connotation. And I think Gio was he was one of the glue guys for sure. You know, he brought everybody together. And, you know, whether it's position players or pitchers, I think, you know, he was that common ground. You know, I just remember, you know, especially on planes, like he was the DJ. And, you know, even if it was a 5 hour flight across the country, like he would do it. He would keep playing music on his phone just to keep, because everybody wanted to listen. And so we don't have that. So we're going to have to nominate a new DJ. And, you know, but yeah, it's going to be a little different feel, but I'm looking forward to, you know, meeting all the new people.
Steven, as you see some of the free agency sagas lasting into, you know, late February and March and even April, you avoided that whole process. Is that validating to you to watch some of these guys kind of twist in the wind, and you got your security, you got settled, and you're here with the Nationals, you signed that extension?
I mean, I wouldn't say it validates anything. You know, I'm not, you know, sitting here saying, man, glad I didn't do that. You know, I think free agency should still have a huge appeal, because not every guy is able to be in an organization like this one that makes a conscious effort to compete every single year and compete for a World Series. So I'm very fortunate. That was one of the big reasons why I felt like if, you know, an opportunity that was fair presented itself, that I would, you know, want to stay on for more years. Because, I mean, this organization's top-notch. But, yeah, I think it's kind of sad to see that a lot of good players are still out there looking for jobs. So I hope everything gets figured out very soon.
You got to take great pride in the fact that in a time where there are so few guys that'll stay with one organization, you're in a spot, who knows what happens in the back end of your career, but you really could be a guy that Nats fans know as their own forever from day one. It seems like something that just doesn't happen very often.
Nah, not anymore. But I think that's just the way the game is. You know, I think if teams wanted to lock up players and have them be, you know, on their team for their whole career, they can certainly do it. The money's there, so it's up to the player and the team.
Last one for you. What's different between when you first started and now, just in terms of what you learn, how you've grown, learn to take care of yourself, pace yourself through spring training, et cetera? Biggest lesson from when you first came up?
Well, I think it's out of necessity, but as you get older, you have to listen to your body a lot more. When I was younger, I feel like I could just throw all day and run all day and lift all day and then wake up the next morning and do it again. But now it's like, all right, you have to kind of assess, all right, how am I feeling today? You know, how should I maximize the workout, but, you know, at the same time, not tax myself too much to where, you know, little things start to creep up and then things kind of get blown up physically and then you're kind of behind the eight ball. So, yeah, I mean, it's just more so like training smarter and not necessarily harder.
Steven Strasburg in the clubhouse at West Palm Beach. Grant and Danny live out and about at spring training. Coverage brought to you by Van Meter Homes. Join the family and go to vanmeterhomes.com today. Let their family build a home for yours. Fresh off the field from working out, Ryan Zimmerman and Adam Eaton stopping by live with us just outside of the clubhouse. Fellas, thanks so much for a couple minutes.
Yeah, no problem.
Glad to be here.
Boys, you got to both stay healthy this year, right? Because it's a huge deal. When you're healthy, really good things happen. You both are dynamic offensive players. Zim, you're driving in runs. Adam, you're a pain in the butt to play against, getting on base a ton, creating havoc. What's the way to do that?
I mean, I think you learn from what happened. I think, you know, Adam can't do anything about what happened to him. That, you know, that's just one of those freak accidents for me. Personally, it's just about taking better care of myself, which we've started to do the last, you know, 3-4 years. And some things are out of your control, but, you know, you prepare as much as you can. We have a great medical staff, a great strength and training, conditioning coaches, and, you know, I think we had a good chance to do that this year.
Yeah, no, I to piggyback on that, exactly, you know, Zim, some things are out of your control. We don't want to get hurt. You're such a bad person in the room when you're hurt because you can't really help the team. You can't really go out there and perform and help get wins. But, you know, like you said, you live and you learn. And hopefully you can some kind of compound that and make sure that you're out there every day. You know, Zim and I have both proven that we can stay out there healthy. We're planning on being there at 162.
I really like this clubhouse, you know, the veteran group that you guys have brought in. And we've been careful on the show to point out, I don't think – this is a knock against Bryce in any way, but when you're McCartney, whether you want to be or not, and you're at a place where there's a lot of people playing music, you get extra attention, you're treated a little bit differently. You guys bring in Brian Dozier, who's a mensch. You go in, Howie Kendrick's back healthy, and guys like Kurt Suzuki and Trevor Rosenthal, who are just dudes. This feels different for us when we're in there. Is that the case for you guys at all in terms of just the veteran presence and the leadership maybe?
Yeah, I don't think it's fair to – you don't ever compare teams from year to year. It's always different no matter what. You know, that's the same thing with managers. It's part of the business. People come, people go. Obviously, some people are more high profile than others, but it's nothing against the team last year or the team 2 years ago. Every team's going to feel different, but I think, the group, like you said, we have a, you know, a veteran group that's got a ton of experience. It's got, playoffs. It's got world championships, it's got things like that, and then you have, you know, 19 and 20 year olds as well, so it's a good mix. But that veteran player, I think, is being pushed out of the game, and it's not, you can't quantify, I guess, the value that that person brings to the team, especially when you have six or seven of them. The guys you mentioned, Anibal Sanchez can be thrown in there. When you have guys on each team, whether it's infield, outfield, relievers, starting pitchers, you know, every group kind of takes care of itself, and it's just makes it a better place to be.
Yeah, the team dynamic, I think, is different for me anyway than I've ever been a part of. You have some guys that are, you know, have 10, 12 plus years, and then you got, you know, your 19 and 20, 21 year olds, which is crazy. And I think the fan base should be excited, in my personal opinion. You're going to see, again, a veteran group, but at the same time, a spark plug, really the whole outfield, very young. All four of us are very young. You have Trey and Anthony that are young, myself, and then, like I said, you mix in some veterans. It's going to be an exciting year. I'm really looking forward to this year. I think we're going to compete every single pitch with that youth and that veteran leadership. And I think we've reloaded. I truly believe that our pitching staff, you add Patrick Corbin, holy cow, wait till you get a look at that guy. He was kind of quiet, still made a lot of noise in Arizona, but kind of a quiet market over there. And for him to sign, and then you had some guys in the back end of the bullpen are huge, and Sanchez as well. So I think the fan base has every right to be excited. And we're looking forward to it.
Voices of Adam Eaton and Ryan Zimmerman here on Grant and Danny. I want to double-click on something Zim just said. You mentioned that the veteran player and kind of what has been another odd offseason of where we're at now as a business in baseball. There's a lot of ways to look at this because everyone just isolates the conversation on the big contracts. And I'm of the belief myself that $300 million 10-year contracts more often than not get regretted by teams. You look at guys like Robinson Cano and some of the players like Albert Pujols, the back end of those deals can be very costly. But there are other issues, and no one wants to acknowledge that with guys that could get a 1 or 2 year deal, or a guy like Matt Adams when he came here. I was shocked with how little he got as an example, that type of player. Where are you guys at right now on the fact that there's 80-some players without jobs and just the industry as it's currently constructed?
Yeah, I think the 10-year deals are obviously the ones that get the most attention. The teams love to say that they're bad deals because the last 2 or 3 years usually aren't as good as the first 7 or 8. They don't ever talk about war in those contracts, which is funny, because right. The first 4 to 5, 6 years they probably pay off the ten year deal if you calculate.
If you have a great
one, war is worth, they won't tell you how much. Nobody knows because nobody knows the actual equation. It is whatever they want it to be. One war is somewhere between $8 and $10 million. So Robinson Cano made that $200 and whatever million probably in the first 6 years of his contract. That's the price you have to pay. He's a free agent. You can't have every player from the time they leave the minor leagues till the time, right. 6 years in. So that's their right, and they've earned that. As far as the other, I think you're right. The other guys are the more important part. I think, the big league guys, the 30 to 33-year-old guys that are still really good players, and not even looking at it as a player's standpoint, I think looking at it from a fan standpoint, the fans deserve to see the best players in the world play baseball. And a lot of those guys haven't been on the field the last 2 years, not because they can't help a team win. We're lucky. We play for a team that tries to win every year. The learners, that's why I say I would never say a bad thing about them. They've spent money every single year. They learn. They do things every year to give us a chance to win. Riz, those guys, you can't say enough good things about them. So we're some of the lucky ones that are on a team that does that. Pretty much our whole division did that this year.
I was going to say, the NL East.
All of a sudden, man.
If there's 16 teams in the sport that are desperate to win the division this year, 4 of them are in the NL East.
Yeah,
right
it's
now.
Fun. That's how it should be. It's exciting. We can talk about it. I think the Indians are going to win the AL Central.
There's a good chance.
I'm going to go out on a limb. Yeah. So, cool for those fans.
Right.
Show up in September 25th, and here we go.
That's
right?
The NBA, by the way.
Yeah.
Right? Honestly.
Yeah.
And that sport gets killed for that.
So, join the club.
And
it's all about competition. That's what sports are about. Money is money. You're going to get nowhere arguing about money because we make a ton of money. The owners make even more money than us.
See, that's what me and Danny noticed.
Normal day people don't want to hear us complain about millions of dollars. So let's not talk about money. Let's talk about competition.
I like that. But Danny and I notice this all the time. I sound like I'm being a jerk, but fans, they cannot get past the money.
They can't get past
it. So we had this guy calling the other day about Bryce. And Bryce Harper deserves an elite amount of money based on what you're talking about.
Perfect.
And this guy in the call goes, I worked for $7 an hour at one point.
Yeah.
Good for you. That means nothing.
Yeah. Well, Bryce Harper has a 1% skill set.
Exactly. Go hit 46 home runs and win an MVP with a year no one's had in 2015. And then let's talk about how much money you make an hour. But people can't get past it. We did the same thing with Cousins for
also,
3 years.
Also, I'm fine with that argument. I'm completely fine. I think it's a valid argument. I get it. The owners make way more money than us. Yell at them.
Yeah, that's true. Billionaires versus millionaires.
Well, hold on. But in fairness, Adam Eaton sets concession prices, doesn't he? And they go through and say how much hot dog costs?
He was upset last year. I think we could say this on the air.
We can get through this
He
now.
Wanted hot dogs to be $9. Yeah. He said $6 wasn't enough. And I thought that was nonsense, Eaton.
Greedy.
Yeah.
Greedy.
But see, that's where you get into the problem. This is what happens with the conversation.
By the way, he's so silent for this conversation.
I'll take it. I'll wear it.
You're just owning this one.
This is what happens with the conversation. You start talking about this, and it always goes to this. That's not the problem. There's going to be money made by everyone. You're going to make money, and we're going to make an obscene amount of money. That's fine. Competition should be the basis of the argument. Every team should be trying to win.
Team to team, you mean?
Yeah, the league. I mean, that's how you make. That's how you have the best league. Every team should try and win, and then you breed. And then that's what's best for the fans.
All right, so you're way smarter than we are on this. Answer this question for me then. How much would it fix it? Danny and I are talking about a salary floor.
I think that's the first step.
Everybody says you don't have a salary cap, but I think you kind of do. First, you have a payroll you work from, and second, you have a luxury tax threshold that, like Mark Lerner told us in an interview earlier this offseason, that was so painful to pay that, I don't want to be over that ever again. Well, then that's a salary cap, whether you view it that way or not.
Right.
You can't have a cap, even if it's a fake cap, and no floor.
Right.
There's no floor. Why wouldn't there be a floor?
Yeah, I mean, Aaron Judge is making $550,000. You know,
yeah,
and it used to be the first 3 years you used to make that. Then you went through arbitration, and then you got a contract, kind of for what you did before. You're still going to be productive, but those last couple years are gonna wear them out a little bit. And I don't blame the clubs for doing that. It's smart business, but something has to change.
Well,
now.
Look at Dozier.
Yeah,
you know, Dozier sets the second base mark for home runs, and then he has one down year, and he made. You know, of course, his arbitration and his minimum, but he didn't really get paid for that year that, you know, I mean, that he technically could do again. I mean, he's a heck of a player, but like I said, it's, you know, as you're coming up through, you know, your first 3 years, you're arb eligible, of course, almost people want to be in that more than anything else, but like I said, I feel like you don't get paid enough for your younger years when these guys are coming into the league and really doing some unbelievable things.
No question about it. What the young players are doing now is just different than when I was a kid. There just used to be once a year there's one guy. Now, if you don't have a 19-year-old, do you even have a team? Yeah. You know, it is crazy to think about.
So, the question is, do you raise the minimum? I guess that's the next thing, because do you pay these young players that are coming up and push that?
Well, so for me, when I say the floor, I even talk about a team payroll. Like, a team shouldn't be able, to me, to have a payroll of $16 million. I'm saying there should be a salary floor where, in the NFL, you are not allowed to field a team below X amount of dollars. So, now, sometimes that means the Wizards have to go give out terrible contracts to Jan Mahimi
and
these
other
guys. So they are desperate because Kevin Durant doesn't want to meet with them that now, well, we got to spend $23 million to get to our floor, so they're giving $23 million to some ham and egger like Danny to sit on the bench.
I can shoot.
But at least get me to a floor.
Right. Well, I think if you incentivize competition, you don't have to worry about that.
Right.
Make the teams want to win, and then they'll pay the best players.
But how do you do that?
I don't know if we have enough time. I have some ideas, but
I have some theories.
I have some ideas. I think the draft is a huge thing that needs to change. Teams are putting so much stock into their draft picks. You know, those top five picks are so valuable. You know, make teams earn those picks. Don't hand them. You know, those picks for losing. You know, the teams that make the playoffs go to the end and then flip it, do a lottery. The team that has the most wins gets the most ping pong balls in there, and you still have everyone has the fair chance to get the one pick. But now that team that's going to win 78 games, they're going to try like heck to win 84 games so they can get extra balls in there to try and get that first pick.
Commish, I like Zim right now, but they
competition.
But you have tanking
competition.
In hoops. Hoops has a basketball draft.
Oh,
lottery,
the most tanking,
and they have more tanking than anyone.
Right. Well, the team that finishes with the worst record gets the most ping pong balls, right?
Right. Oh, so you're saying everyone gets the same.
But the difference between the NBA and Major League Baseball is there's like nine guys that can change a franchise in basketball. In baseball, it's way different.
Yeah, there's like no guys.
Right.
But they don't let them tell you that because, you know, this is such a simple conversation we're having, which is way more. It's way more complex than what we're doing right now.
We're going to fix this in
this
segment, I think.
But I just think, you can't just talk about money because money makes everyone angry at everybody. You need to talk about competition.
All right, well, let's go to this team real quick. I know you said it's not cool to compare team to team, but let's do exactly that for a second. This spring training,
let's do the thing you asked us not to
do. You literally said don't do that, but here we go. What's different about this spring training, year two for Davey, just kind of the feel, the vibe?
Family. I mean, I think that's the biggest thing we've really focused upon is family, camaraderie. We're not going to war, of course. You know, no one's dying out here, but we are going into this battle with one another and having each other's back. And in the professional realm, it's easier said than done with that sometimes. But we've really focused upon it, and I think that's is a focus that Davey's brought in, and something that I think everyone is buying in. You know, from the 60th some guy that's in camp to you know, our highest paid player. So I think that's something that's we're really focusing upon. I think it's going to pay dividends.
Yeah, I think accountability and just, you know, Davey, I think, learned a lot last year. Davey did a great job for all the adversity we had. I mean, you think about all the guys we had injured, and I think a lot of it was a lot of the people we had injured at the same time.
Yeah, same time.
I thought he did a great job of staying positive, coming to the field every day, getting us to go out there and play. I think, you know, there's not a guy in there that doesn't love playing for that guy. So just going out there and competing and being accountable and sticking together through the good times and the bad times and, you know, kind of enjoying the grind.
One more for each of you quick. Adam, I didn't know until this offseason you were such a big hockey fan.
Yeah,
I love
yeah.
that about Adam.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to get you. Have you been to Caps games at all over
yeah.
at Capital One Arena?
I've every time they come to Detroit, every time they come down here in Florida, when I'm
nice.
Down here, I see them, try to get there as much. Zim has been nice enough to purchase us a couple boxes during the playoffs.
Very sweet of you, Zim.
Very nice.
Yeah, you guys are more than welcome. Come on, eat his food yeah. that he purchased.
See, I share my money.
I know you do.
Yeah, you're
yes.
a nice guy like that.
You do.
You're a very nice
but,
guy.
But, no, it's been an exciting season so far. I really enjoy it. Like I said, no couple of the guys, most of the coaching staff as well, and it's such a great sport. I think, you know, I love baseball, but I think it's probably the best sport to see in person. The absolute, you know, the tenacity of it, the quickness, the speed, these guys are unreal. I think you take a hockey player, put them in any other realm, and they do pretty well, and you take a lot of us, you know, we can't even get on skates. So, like I said, what yeah. they do is impressive, and that's why I love it. I think it's, like I said, they have an ultimate skill set, hand-eye coordination, speed, and then they in all, you know, realms they could punch your face off if they wanted to. It's pretty, really, really impressive attributes.
Lastly, Zim, this could be your final year on your contract. Obviously, there's an option that could be picked up on the back end, but have you started thinking at all about the fact that this either could be the end of the line or
like
what
nostalgia
is,
or anything?
What is next?
No,
I mean,
not really. I think I feel like I have a lot left, and I think the relationship that I have with the team, the front office, you know, it's on me to play. If I play well, I don't think there's any doubt I'll come back and play some more. I feel like I have a good 3 or 4 years left into me. You know, my body feels great. Like we talked about at the beginning, you know, you learn something every year, and I think if I can just stay on the field, when I'm on the field, I'm still productive. You know, I've been lucky to be able to be here. You know, the city is a great city to be in. I've been treated well my entire career. You know, the organization has taken care of me and my family, and it's always been positive. I've done 2 contracts with these guys, so doing something else isn't going to be a big deal. You know, I'm to the point where it's not about money or making, you know, certain numbers here and there. It's more about finishing what I started here. So I think it's on me to stay healthy. It's nobody else, you know. If I don't stay healthy, I don't, you know, I don't deserve anything. So it's on me to go out there and do that. And, you know, but it would be really weird to play anywhere else. I can't really see myself doing that.
Fellas, we appreciate it. A lot of times we talk to guys about, like, eating steak in cars. This got real.
It's like a real adult conversation.
Yeah, it was really fun.
That's why I didn't
weird.
Talk much.
Adam Eaton and Ryan Zimmerman here on Grant and Danny live from spring training.
Right.
Thank
you,
fellas.
Thank you, boys.
Go get them. You're listening to 106.7 The Fan.
Guys, Danny Ruya here for my pals at Ted Britt Ford. You got to go see him. Do what I did. Make this play. I've been there 2 different times. 2 different, incredibly satisfied experiences. I love Ted Britt Ford, and you will too. They're in Fairfax, Chantilly. Click away at TedBritt.com. All month long, love at first drive at Ted Britt Ford. New 2018 Ford EcoSport as low as $179 a month or 0% APR for 60 months when you buy. Drive a new 2019 Ford Escape for as low as $239 a month, or an Explorer for as low as $349 a month. Get up to $6,000 off the MSRP on a new 2018 Ford Mustang GT. New 2018 F-150. Ted Britt's going to give you, wait for this, $13,500 off of the MSRP, or take advantage of 0% APR for 60 months. Plus, when you buy from Ted Britt Ford, this is the best thing. Ted Britt is going to give you Ted Britt for Life. That's lifetime vehicle coverage, and it comes standard with your new vehicle, including powertrain, service loaners, battery replacement, windshield repair, nitrogen tire fill, and complimentary Virginia inspection for life. You got an issue? You bring it in. They take care of it. They're the best. That's why they've been in business about 60 years. You got to go see them and tell them. Danny sent you.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.